Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
Well, there are many fabulous things to be said about the gospel reading tonight and about Mary and Martha, and which is in fact the better part. I instead want to think about the first reading that we heard tonight from Amos, because I love the prophets. There's a special place in my heart for those who call organizations or systems or the powerful on their crap. I had another word written there, but I feared. These people are important for us to hear and to listen to. They keep us accountable to one another and to the principles that we say we stand for. And Amos is one of these. And I really needed this week. Rolf Jacobson, an Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary, reminds us in his commentary on this reading. He says, the 8th century prophets Amos and Isaiah and Micah were in one accord with the Lord's demand for justice. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, in Amos chapter 5. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow, is written in Isaiah chapter 1. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God, in Micah chapter 6. And is it in his introduction to the book of Amos, Eugene Peterson, in his book The Message, which is not always my favorite, but actually he writes some really great things here, says in his introduction, more people are exploited and abused in the cause of religion than in any other way. Sex, money, and power all take a back seat to religion as a source of evil. Religion is the most dangerous energy source known to humankind. The moment a person or government or religion or organization is convinced that God is either ordering or sanctioning a cause or a project, anything goes. He continues, the biblical prophets continue to be the most powerful and effective voices ever heard on this earth for keeping religion honest, humble, and compassionate. Prophets sniff out injustice, especially injustice that is dressed up in religious garb. They sniff it out a mile away. None of us can be trusted in this business. If we pray and worship God and associate with others who likewise pray and worship God, we absolutely must keep company with these biblical prophets. We are required to submit all of our words and acts to their passionate scrutiny to prevent the perversion of our religion into something self-serving. A spiritual life that doesn't give a larger place to the prophet articulated justice will end up making us worse instead of better, separating us from God's ways instead of drawing us to them. Thank you, Eugene Peterson. I needed this reminder this week as I waded through the readings and wondered what on earth I could stand here and say to you. So some of you know that I was away at General Synod last week. It's why I sat in the congregation last Sunday rather than standing up here at the front. It's possible that what Alistair said was some of what I will say tonight. I'm not sure. Because even though I was here, I was too lost in my own profound disappointment and grief, and honestly wondering if I still belonged to be able to hear much of what he said. So excuse me if it's a repeat. Because I spent last week sitting at tables and in conversations and voting and talking and then trying to figure out where to from here. And I opened up the readings for this week and was greeted by Amos, and thank God for prophets. Thank God for voices that call us to accountability and remind us of God's vision when we get too bogged down with our own. Thank God for the reminder that our justice is bound up in each other, is caught up in systems, and begins in the very nature of God, of who God is, and how God loves us, and who we are as image bearers of our Creator. Amos this week calls us into accountability for our market systems, the ways that our markets are set up to take advantage of each other. It calls out those who want Sabbath to end sooner so that they can get back to taking control and profit, rather than taking Sabbath on as a practice of justice and an opportunity to rest and to come back to center. But I don't want to think about markets this week, though I think that could be a good conversation for us to have. I do want to think about our particular system, this particular organization of which we are a part in the Anglican Church of Canada, and how we organize ourselves and what we are to make of the outcomes of General Synod. And if I allow myself to forget for a moment that Amos is talking about markets specifically, I feel like he could also be talking to us in the church. Because there are ways in which justice was served last week. We as the Anglican Church of Canada made some important movements towards reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. The primate apologized for spiritual harm that was caused by our church in the residential schools and in our particular form of evangelism, which has historically assumed that our way was and is the only way, refusing to see the validity of spiritual practices of others. We agreed to replace a prayer in our prayer book that once prayed for the conversion of Jews and now names the violence that was inflicted on the Jewish people as a result of our arrogance. A prayer for reconciliation and another step in the right direction. We affirmed a common word between us, which has us joining with Lutheran partners and others in conversations with the Muslim community to help build relationship and understanding between our faiths. I celebrate all of these movements. They felt like a basket of ripe fruit, beautiful and inviting. And while we affirmed the Word to the Church document, which affirms five things, including that we all have different understandings of the existing marriage canon, and that we are diverse in our teachings within our church as a whole, that's fine, we already knew that. But then the actual vote to change the canon was defeated narrowly by the House of Bishops. And then there was wailing. So we remain within our canon with a narrow definition of marriage. And it was heartbreaking, and it was terrible to be in that room. My table sat crying. The tables around me also. Some tried to get up and make further motions, trying to salvage something, I think. And then an elder from the Indigenous community got up to the microphone and implored us to stop. It was late, he said, and our children are crying, and we cannot do this anymore. And so we ended our day with broken hearts and with tears. I do not believe that prophetic voices cease with the prophets of the Old Testament. I believe that we still have prophets among us. I believe that some of them stood and spoke at Synod last week in the form of some of the queer youth who rose to the microphone to tell us why this change was so important. And I don't believe that's so just because I agree with them. But I think about the words from Isaiah. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. I think about what Eugene Peterson wrote about the prophets, that if we pray and worship God and associate with others who likewise pray and worship God, we must absolutely keep company with these biblical prophets. We are required to submit all of our words and acts to their passionate scrutiny to prevent the perversion of our religion into something self-serving. A spiritual life that does not give a larger place to the prophet-articulated justice will end up making us worse instead of better, separating us from God's ways instead of drawing us to them. And so I have been listening since Friday, listening for those voices, listening for where we are trying to learn to do good. If you read a little further on in Amos, he begins to speak about restoration, where broken places have been restored, when new wine begins to flow. But it's not in the reading tonight. We aren't there yet. We have a lot to wade through first. We have work to do yet. We get to stay sad if that is what we need to do for a while longer or as long as it takes. But here is what I have heard since that night. If anything, this vote shows that our system of decision making is broken. How we got to the final decision on the marriage canon was not good for our church. What I want you to hear is that a clear majority of all of the people in that room were in favor of changing the marriage canon, including the bishops. It was a small number of people who were not in favor, and honestly, it is no surprise to us that those people exist. We know that. That since the closing of General Synod, a number of bishops have come out authorizing a fuller understanding of marriage, including our own. I just read the letter. So that, as you know, as of August 1, we are permitted to officiate at same-sex marriages, and that our cathedral is in the process of getting ourselves organized to do just that. A number of other dioceses are having important conversations that I am hopeful will lead to the same. The truth is that not all the bishops who are not affirming were not going to give their permission regardless. This does not change that. I know that the no was hard to hear. I felt it. It felt like a punch in the gut. And the truth is that we are moving forward. We are responding. And I believe we are listening to the call of the Spirit. The trick with being an Anglican is that we are part of a larger whole, which we like to hold up. We like to say that we are a part of a large tent that seeks to have room for everyone. And while that is a beautiful concept, it is really, really hard when we are talking about the exclusion of people like us, like people that we love, like people in our church community, like people in our families. So if you hear nothing else tonight, please hear this, that the vote changes nothing about us, that we as a community and as a part of the Anglican Church of Canada will continue in our unwavering understanding that we are all made in the image of our Maker, who cannot be contained by any one narrow definition. That the majority of the people in the room at General Synod affirmed the change in our church to allow for same-sex marriage. That there are still prophets among us calling us out, and we are trying hard to listen and to act in such a way that God's justice is enacted here by and with each one of us. So that we are trying hard to prevent the perversion of something self-serving and instead live out the creation of God's kingdom here on earth. But it is a slow process, to be sure. And we need to sit with this until we are ready to act. And we will be here. I will be here in this community, in this church, which continues to hold an affirming place for the LGBTQ2S community. and to listen for prophets among us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.